You will give guidance when we are good to go. Yeah, it's almost 10. We will be good to go. Good morning, Sister Ben. Good morning, Zwin. This is Dombi. How are we doing for...
Good Chair, good morning.
Yes.
We are ready, Chairperson. Ben?
Yes, ma'am. I was starting with the SSA matter and the report and then the minutes.
Minutes, post office, SSA. Let's dispense with the easy parts. I'm going to turn my camera off just to my network. So here's proof of life. I'm present and here. And then we will be good to go. So colleagues, good morning and welcome to our meeting this morning, which is largely housekeeping matters, just to make sure that we're up to date. There are a few sets of minutes that just need to be dispensed with, and then we'll go to the post office report, and then we'll do the SSA roadmap. And then maybe just the one announcement. I received, as all other chairs did yesterday, correspondence from and the week in which we were scheduled to go to ESCOM has been reconfigured for parliamentary work. And therefore,
the recording in progress
taking place in that week. We will await new dates. When they are provided to us, and then we will undertake that oversight. So all oversight visits are not being approved for that week for the reason which I indicated yesterday, we sent. So it's the motion of no confidence in the president and the motion of no confidence in the executive, which is, and the questions to the deputy president. And so I think a decision has been taken that oversights will be cancelled. So we will see what we can slot into those 2 days of committees, the Tuesday and the Wednesday, to make maximum use of our time. All right, so it's just those few things, right? Let me hand over to you, Ben, just take us through the minutes. And then when we're done with those, we'll fly to this post office report, and then the Honorable Van Minim, it's good to see you up here, and then we'll see you. And thank you very much for being here under circumstances which we as a committee are aware of. So, all right, good Ben, over to you.
Okay, we'll start with the three outstanding ones from 2021, which is 2/3/10 February in no particular order. Can you see that?
These ones were corrected, right? They just need adoption. The corrections were done, right? Yes, they just need adoption.
Okay, so you can see the 3rd of February. Yes, are you able to see them on the screen? I just, you're breaking up?
Yeah, they are on the screen. Yeah, we corrected these last time.
Okay.
No, I'm saying they were corrected.
Okay. So we're going for a mover.
Can I get a mover and a seconder for their adoption?
I can move it.
Okay.
Honorable Hadebe, second.
Honorable Van Minim moves for adoption. Right, seconder.
Honorable Hadebe, second.
Right, thank you very much. Thanks, colleagues. Nick. Right, thanks, Honorable Hadebe. All right. next set, put Ben.
Next is 2nd February.
This was the morning session, yes. This one was also corrected. It just needs adoption.
That 10 February. I'm not hearing anyone. Am I still in the meeting?
Yes, you are. We're just waiting for you to continue. We're seeing your very beautiful screen of files.
Oh, boy. All right. Don't tell me I'm at this again.
Don't think aloud.
Can you see the 10th of February now?
It's not up. It's still on your screen.
Gosh, no.
The pen is with you, not with us, as usual.
Yeah, I know. The first two went up. I don't know why this one is refusing.
I was waiting for Babu Somyo to...
Still not showing, huh?
Maybe I want to refresh your screen.
Oh, come on, man.
Stop exposing yourself as a BBT, BK.
Why can't I expose myself? I've got nothing to be ashamed of. I know a lot of things. So this one is minor.
All right, Ben, don't you maybe want to refresh your screen and start again?
I don't think it's my screen. I think it's me.
Maybe a rare sense of...
Okay, let me go back to that. Excuse all this.
Come on, BK.
Yes. Okay, let me try again. That should be it. Have I got it right now?
Yes. Okay, 10th
February.
2021.
Move, adopt.
The colleagues had received this, so they will indicate where they want to make corrections. Was this pair, this set was corrected, Ben, that, right?
Yes, that's part of the tree in February.
All right, can we get a mover and a second that this set was corrected?
Let me open the next ones. Okay, let me do this.
Ben, we have not adopted that set. Take it, put it back up, please.
Oh.
Can I get a mover, please?
I'll move, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Mazamban.
Okay, so I don't have to put it up.
Seconder.
I'll second.
Thanks, Honorable Van Meenen. All right, Ben, that was the last. Are there any other minutes you want to put up for us?
Yes, 10 of them.
Okay, up it goes.
Let's start with 25 January.
Right, this was the last pair that was corrected, right? Yes.
No, this is 2022. The last three.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay.
So we're starting on the new ones now, the next 10.
All right, colleagues. These were circulated, so...
Honorable Hadebe, Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
All right, thanks. Honorable Hadebe with an H.
I second, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Swartz.
1 February 22.
All right, this was the briefing by the presidency colleagues.
Right.
Colleagues, this batch of minutes was circulated, so colleagues, feel free to make the changes that and corrections that you picked up. If they are absent, can we get a mover and a seconder?
I move, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Peters.
Second.
Thanks, Honorable Van Meenen. Thanks, Ben. Next set.
Okay, 2nd of February.
Oh, this one we adopted the minutes, right?
Yes.
Easy pie. Can I get a mover in the seconder?
I second, Chair.
Look, you move.
Yeah, second, again.
Thanks, Honorable Swartz, Honorable Lees. Okay, thanks, Ben.
Okay. 8th February.
Was a PK, was.
Oh, faster. Okay.
Okay. Can we get a mover and a seconder? I know that some colleagues did bring their changes prior and corrections. So could you get a mover and a seconder, please?
Can I move, Chair?
Thank you, Honorable Peters.
I second, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Swartz.
9 Feb.
Let a mover and a seconder, please.
I move.
Thanks, Mam Zibula.
I second, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Swartz. Was a pen, Ama, my minitetu had been circulated, so this part shouldn't take us long.
Okay.
And if there's one thing I know about SCOPA members, they read.
Okay.
Right. Oh, Ama. Okay, a mover and a seconder.
I move for the adoption, Chair. Hadebe.
Mazamban, you are second.
Thank you, Honorable Mazamban.
Can a potato be honorable?
Angzwanga Mazamban.
Can a potato be honorable?
Well, I mean, I suppose if you Zamba Nilga Pondo, right? Remember those ones?
Yeah, Kombo.
Yeah. All right.
It's not the one sitting on the couch.
No. All right. Can you get a mover and a seconder?
I move, Chair.
Thanks, Mamzi. Mam Tolashe.
I second, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Mam Tolashe. Okay, let's finish off, PK. I know that Konisba Pora yung hale process here to bacha he logo gun.
Okay.
Right, now we're almost there. All right, a mover and a seconder, please.
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Thanks, Andrew.
Seconded, Chair Hadebe.
Hadebe. Right, we're almost there.
22 February.
Mover, please.
I'll move.
Thanks, Honorable Van Minen.
Second, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Swartz.
1 March.
Okay, mover, please.
I'll move, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable.
Second.
Thanks, Honorable Van Minen.
2 March.
Okay, mover, seconder.
Hadebe moves for the adoption.
Second, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Hadebe, Honorable Pukas.
That's a quick one.
100 minutes, PK.
Sorry, Chair.
Are you done?
Yeah, that's the entire thing for that page.
Okay. The last set. All right. No, that's fine. Thanks, colleagues. All right.
No. I don't mean it's the last set. What I mean is that's the only content for that date.
Oh no, you're cool.
Okay. I think I can take it down?
Yeah, it's done. We're
almost there.
All right, can I get a mover and a seconder?
I move, Chair. I second, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Mom T.
Right, now we go to the subco report.
All right, colleagues, thanks so much for the minutes. All right. But Ben will put up the draft report on our oversight visit to the South African Post Office on 2 to 3 December. And then, so we'll go through page by page. on this one, and then it will move to its adoption, and then it will be 80 seat for the House, colleagues. So can we go through that one page by page? Colleagues, feel free to stop, Ben.
All right, Honorable Lee. The attendance, I think my initials are back to front. Right back to the beginning. Further. Yeah, it should be RA, not AR.
RA, okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Not annual report, Ben.
Got that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I haven't checked the figures and those sort of stats. You know, I hope that someone's got on top of that.
Yeah, I did go through the figures, and Tando as well went through with Ben and Sistombi. So I think the figures are fine. If need be, we'll always make an amendment. But I think, yeah. Right. Okay. The objectives were quite clear, Ben, why we went.
Okay.
Findings. Okay. Ben.
Yes, sir.
I was trying to find, because I think we the board, right? There was quite serious reservation about the board. And its own capacity to meet the challenge of at the post office. And you'll recall that at the end of that meeting, the DM also kind of cited that they would conduct a review. And I think something along those lines, along the lines of ascertaining ascertaining the competence, skills, and expertise of the board, an analysis or an audit. Yeah,
should that fall under observations?
Recommendations.
Recommendations.
That it should be done. And skills and expertise audit of the board. Well, by the department, not the DM. Ben?
Yeah.
Not okay. The DM, by the, it's the department.
Skills and expertise of the
board.
Okay, I don't know if we-
An should... audit, like a skills audit of the, yeah.
Skills audit. Shall we remove expertise?
Yeah, I suppose.
Perhaps an audit of the skills and expertise of the board.
Okay, yes, there we go. Yeah.
Audit of the skills.
Of, yeah.
The skills and expertise.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if I may come in.
Sure.
May I?
Yes, please, Honorable Lees.
Mr. Chairman, just in our recommendations here, there's, I don't know if Ben can make it a bit bigger. I'm battling to read all of them. No, not so much that. I want to see more of them, not so much the size of the letters.
Okay.
But we've made reference, if I remember correctly, on these. Okay, that's great. Just stop there somewhere. In terms of the recovery plan for the post office, if I remember correctly. Is that then our recommendations about submitting that to us? And is there anything like that there? Audit action plan, poor performance, control activities management. I'm sure I saw something, risk management. Entity must submit a revised strategic associated financial plan that must take into account the financial challenges, etc. Now, I think that's quite a critical section in the sense that there was an unprecedented event yesterday, which will still need to be attended to, where a portfolio committee was closed to the public to discuss the post office recovery plan. That's completely illegal, and it cannot be. So we've already asked here for that plan. And so what I'm trying to say, Mr. Chairman, is we need to strengthen this so that there's no attempt by the department, the ministry, or the post office itself to hide this from us. You will recall that SAA fell under the finance committee during the last parliament. And when Jahana was appointed, they came to the finance committee and they tried to close the committee to the public on the basis of the competitive nature of the recovery plan they were going to submit. I mean, there have been so many recovery plans for SAA that never worked anyway. But the fact is that they wanted to close it. We objected, and in the end, it was made public. There cannot be anything that's secret in terms of presentations to Parliament. And so I'm just asking that section I be strengthened, and that there's no attempt to hide it from us when the time comes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, no, that's fine. I think when we scheduled them, we will continue on the same trajectory of our modus operandi of transparency in any case. Whatever reasons may have been advanced yesterday at the PC, I think maintain separation of powers within Parliament. But we will continue on our own normal processes, actually. So that is fine. And of course, we did want that turnaround strategy and the revised strategic plan and so on. So once this has gone to the House, we will look at this in tandem with the annual report, the audit action plan, and any other relevant documentation which will come to this. So, okay, that's fine. Right. Any other matter, colleagues?
Chair, may I request Mr. List to jot down two or three lines in this regard, because there's a lot that he said which I don't think I'll be able to capture because I wasn't even there.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think it's necessary to capture what I've said. I think that my point really was that you see the is submitted to the committee is the last line. I was hoping that we could strengthen the last few words of the section. Is submitted to the committee. I suppose that's strong enough. I was hoping or thinking maybe we can strengthen that wing, but perhaps it's strong enough as it stands, as you pointed out, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Right. I think we are at the end. Right. Colleagues, yeah, so the report was actually circulated, and I think we tried to capture the essence of the oversight. Right, may I get a mover, please? 2022.
I'm livid.
Right. May I get a mover, please?
Okay, I can move a chair.
Right, Honorable Van Minen moves. May I get a seconder?
A second chair.
Thanks, Honorable Swart. I'm going to assume there are no objections to the committee adopting the report.
Mr. Chairman, just bear in mind that we have to get it through caucus as a final mandate, but as it stands, be happy with it.
Okay, that is fine. All right, colleagues, thank you very much. That dispenses with the South African Post Office report on our oversight. All right, can we get to the final issue for the day? The Right. So this is the roadmap that we had proposed insofar as taking the SSA matters, which goes out of the matter that we were dealing with before. Somebody's got their mic on. All right, thank you. All right, there we go. All right. And this was the proposed roadmap insofar as us dealing with the State Security Agency. And of course, we have dispensed with the issues which were related to the president, but there were issues which remained on that matter. And we received the legal opinion. And this was now, amongst others, practicalizing what the committee had directed. That legal opinion is the way forward. So this has been in circulation amongst us for about 2 weeks now. And of course, regrettably, ESCOM decided to load shed us last week, and as usual, interrupted every other course of business in the country, and we were affected by that. So this is what would have actually served last week. So colleagues, I'm going to ask that when we go again page by page, and colleagues will make, it's a very short document, it's 3 pages, and then colleagues will make input. I know that some input had come through from colleagues. So page 1, page 2, page 3, Ben, in that order. And then colleagues, you'll come in and make your input. Colleagues, over to you.
Should I go back up or am I?
Yeah, back up so that colleagues can make their inputs page by page and we don't lose issues. Let's go seriatim. Right.
Okay.
All right. You'll stop, Ben, colleagues, as you deem necessary, because this virtual platform does make it a bit difficult for us. Okay.
I'm at the end of it.
Colleagues, comments, please. Moving for adoption, seconding.
Yeah, no, thank you, Chair. It's Honorable Hadebe.
All right, Honorable Hadebe with an H. Babsom, I've noted your hand.
Yes, I want to seek your indulgence and appeal for committee members to bear with me because I didn't know which section should I speak under, but I want to speak on the plan. Okay, overall,
yes,
and the objective as highlighted in the plan, Chair. If I were to quote the objective, Chair, of the plan, SCOPA to specifically consider the financial management of the State Security Agency with the view to determining if adequate financial controls are in place and to consider whether the current auditing and financial oversight model can be improved. Now, having read the plan and just by reading the objective, Chair, I was immediately prompted to get an understanding and help myself to understand better both our function as SCOPA and vis-a-vis the mandate of the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence. And I think I need to highlight this before I proceed, that first and foremost, Chair, both committees are creatures of statutes. As such, in terms of our mandate, we are limited to the functional scope which is written into law that created these two committees. And by these two committees, I'm referring to both SCOPA and the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence. What therefore means is that we cannot expand our mandate beyond that which is written into law, which created these two committees. And for SCOPA, our mandate, we all know, as enshrined in the rules of Parliament on Section 245, subsection 1. And when it comes to the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, which I'm going to spend more time on expanding so that members can appreciate my contribution and proposal that I want to make to this committee, the mandate of the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence is derived from our constitution, which is Act 108 of 96. Now, Honorable Chair, Section 199, subsection 1 of the constitution provides that the security services must be structured and regulated by a national legislation. Furthermore, Section 199, subsection 8 also stipulates that to give effect to the principles of transparency, accountability, and multi-party parliamentary committees must have oversight of all security services in a manner determined by national legislation or rules and order of parliament. Now, Chair, in this regard, the Intelligence Services Oversight Act of 1994 was promulgated to give effect to the constitutional imperative as enshrined in Section 199, subsection 8 of our constitution. Now, in that Intelligence Service Act, the Section 2, subsection 1 of Intelligence Oversight, which created the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, whose mandate is to oversee the functions of the intelligence services, which also include oversight on administration, financial management, and expenditure. Now, Chair, Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence is required by law to report to Parliament on administration, financial management, and expenditure of the services. Now, by services, Chair, I mean the three following services in terms of the Act. It's criminal intelligence, defense intelligence, and state security agents. All three services are overseen by the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. And this, Chair, needs to be read also in conjunction with Section 3, subsection A, which further empowers the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence to obtain certain reports. And those three reports are an audit report compiled by the Auditor General of South Africa, any audit report issued on the financial statement of all three services, any report in relation to the affairs of the joint standing of these services. So, Chair, the mandate of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence also expand to overseeing the budget of these three services as tabled by these three ministers, which is the Minister of Police, Minister of Defense and Military Veteran, and in this case, it's Minister in the Presidency who also responsible to oversee the State Security Agency. Now, why I'm raising this, Chair, is because the nature of this committee is a very unique one. This committee, it's a joint standing committee. Now, before a member of parliament, or should I say National Assembly and NCOP, serve in this committee, that member is subjected to top security clearance. Should you fail to obtain top security clearance, you are unable to serve in that committee. And furthermore, if the actions and behavior of members of this committee are a threat to national security, the Speaker of Parliament and the Chairperson of NCOP is empowered by Section 5, subsection B11 of the Act to replace that member. Now, finally, the Act under Section 2, subsection 7 makes it clear that no persons other than members of the Joint Standing Committee and their staff may be present during the proceedings of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence without the permission of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. Now, why I'm highlighting all these issues, Chair, it is in relation to our plan. Now, to say, Chair, all the above plans have the bearing on the functioning and interaction of us with the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence. And as it reflected the work highlighted here, it is already, in terms of the legislation, supposed to be undertaken by this very committee. Hence my opening remarks when I spoke, Chair, I said, these two committees are creatures of statutes. One is derived from the Constitution, which is the supreme law of this country. My appeal, Chair, to this committee before adopting this plan or moving forward is that I would request our chairperson, Honorable Hlengwa, and the chairperson of the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence, Honorable Makhe, to first have discussions to chart a way forward in relation to this matter. We don't want a situation where we're going to be viewed or perceived as we're overreaching by reading what is entailed in the Constitution and the joint rules of Parliament in relation to the Joint Standing Committee and what is presented to us. It might come across as if we're overreaching. I'm not saying that's the case. So I'm strongly putting forward the proposal that let's allow you as our chairperson to first interact with the chairperson of the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence, bearing in mind that there is nothing that we can do without the approval of that committee in terms of the nature and the uniqueness of that committee as it relates to national security, and that anything within that committee is discussed in closed session, and no member of that committee is permitted in terms of the law to disclose any information without prior written approval or declassification of that information. So for us to be able to conduct our work smoothly, I think the first port of call, the step moving forward, is for the two bilaterals to take place, Chair. I submit. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable Hatebe. Honorable Somyu and Honorable Van Meenen, in that order, please.
No, I think thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Hatebe has covered me to an extent. Though I would want to expand into what he is referring to. One, if indeed we were to probe in a sense of what has been referred to us here and now, I would have had no problem at all if there were financials at hand, which were a point of reference, as it is the case, our responsibility to deal with any matters which are of a finance nature emanating from a report or reports which are of a standing nature referred to Parliament and therefore are in the purview of our committee in that exercise. And they would embark upon them. Though one is as well wary of a sensitivity of these matters. I would want to refer colleagues to a number of references which reflect on a nature of matters which are of an intelligence purview. Anyone who is conscious, South African, a patriot, even if he has worked in that environment, he would ask a permission for declassification of certain documentation, any decent functional, any person, whether now or at some stage, would want to deal with certain matters of intelligence nature, would require that permission for such declassification of some of that information. You'd get into a number of references. Others are new. I'm not talking about people who would go into platforms and just talk as they would wish, but any decent individual would ask for declassification of documentation, whether it's asked by the courts, it's asked by the commission, and in our case thereof, it's even worse off that I'm not vetted, I've not been exposed in any some kind of given a high classified instance of vetting, swearing of secrecy, and all those necessities if you have to deal with matters of intelligence. So all those processes will be have to be met even before we deal with those kinds of matters. So to make things easier for us, indeed it will be necessary that the chair should have that sort of decency to meet with the chair of the joint standing committee. We are both standing committees, you see, and therefore the, our creation is a creation of a two institutional mechanisms which are defined in a manner of dealing with certain things quite appropriately, so that we don't see ourselves viewed by a structure which exists in Parliament as if we're encroaching into their own space. I would really urge that the chair should set that appointment, have that discussion with the chair of the committee, and there are a number of reference points to this matter. If I remember, there was an instance where the Public Service Commission would have asked the ministry to expose certain appointments to them, and they refused to do so because they don't account to them in terms of those matters. They have some instances where they have to follow around that. So we don't want that kind of backlash on those matters. We must be clinical in our approach, and Parliament, I'm talking about body Parliament, must not find a situation whereby its own instruments have unnecessary clashes on these things. So let us just be swift on it, and you organize that kind of engagement, and then you can bring your engagements results to us thereafter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Bob Son. Honorable Van Minen.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think that it's very important that SCOPA remembers what our mandate is. In all the departments that we deal with, there are other standing committees that deal with the content and internal arrangements of those departments that they oversee. And we do not interfere with their capacities and actions, and they hopefully do not try to interfere with ours. Now, yes, there is a joint standing committee on intelligence, that is so, and there are various strictures and regulations in that regard. However, I think it is important to remember that SCOPA's mandate is slightly different. It is looking at the public accounts. We're talking about public monies. And I think in a case where we have seen very powerful prima facie evidence of the confusion that has occurred between the interests of the country and the interests of certain elements of a political party to do with the spending of public monies, it is very, very clear that the Standing Committee is not paying enough attention to those aspects of the department. SCOPA's interest is not in the substance of what intelligence and the SSA is doing. It is into the public accounts and the spending of public monies. SCOPA is a committee of Parliament. Parliament represents the people, and there is a very definite interest in ensuring that there is not abuse happening within departments, and that what is permissible to be in the public spaces is in fact so. If you look at legal opinion that was previously garnered by Scopa at some point in the past, there appears to be no hindrance in Scopa exercising authority over issues like the Auditor General's reports. And I think that we should really bear in mind what it is the Scopa does. I actually am also thinking that arguments that we should limit ourselves and know our place are quite frankly contra Bernis Morris and very unfortunate. It is not for us to decide what our limits are, it's for us to test what we can do. And I think in this regard, we need to proceed as has already been laid out. Thank you.
Honorable Liz, I think will be the last one on this one in terms of the list I have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think a lot has already been said. I just want to emphasize a few things. The first is that we have indeed had a legal opinion about the correctness of us embarking upon the plan before us today. So I think that's in order in that sense. I know that legal opinions can be very different if you approach different legal practitioners, but this is from the parliamentary legal advice. And quite honestly, Mr. Chairman, I don't really care what the chair of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence feels or thinks about our role. Our role is one that we must approach robustly and within the law without fear or favor and worry about what the perceptions about overreach and et cetera are. So that's the one thing. The other thing is that the Zondo Commission has made some really startling revelations about the use of public funds within the SSA. And the president himself has picked up on those, perhaps as a way of diverting our attention from him, but nevertheless, and kind of directed us in that direction. So I, Mr. Chairman, I don't think this is a matter that should be a kind of agreement between the chairs of the two committees. We must decide for ourselves whether we have a legal mandate to look at the public accounts of a committee of parliament, and I believe we do, and this seems to have been confirmed by the legal opinion that you correctly obtained for the committee. And so I would say that I'm really not inclined, I'm afraid, to start negotiating with the Standing Committee on Intelligence about accessing the financial matters. I really don't want to know which spy is sitting in Moscow and which in New York and what they're doing. I'm really not interested. Well, I am very interested actually, but I know that would be an overreach of our mandate if we were to start asking for that information. And there indeed, I suppose, Honorable Somio would be correct. We'd have to ask for a declassification or something for that. But that doesn't apply to the use of the funds or in what appears to have been the case, the considerable misuse of the funds, if the evidence at the Zondo Commission is correct. So, Mr. Chairman, I think that we should proceed according to the plan that's been presented, and let's get on with the job and do our job. And if we become unpopular, so be it. Popularity is not what we're here for. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Right. Thank you, Honorable Lisa. I see the hand of Honorable Dlakude. And then I would like to make a determination on this matter once we are done. Honorable Dlakude.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. I've been sitting here listening to all the arguments by Honorable Members. And in those arguments, the Honorable Hadebe has presented, what he has presented is also a legal opinion from a parliamentary legal unit. So that legal opinion is not saying that SCOPA shouldn't do its work. You can do your work according to your scope, mandate, and also your established processes and procedures. But to insinuate that the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence is not doing, is not focusing on or on its work with regard to the financial management, to the finances of the agency, that is undermining the work of another committee. So the work of that committee is behind closed doors. Yes, hence you don't know what that committee is doing. So yours is open to the public. Everything that you do is open to the public. Hence everyone knows what you are doing. So that legal opinion is not saying that SCOPA shouldn't do its work. You can do your work. But to undermine that committee, the insinuation that the committee is not focusing on doing its work is undermining even those members who are deployed in that committee. There are political parties represented in that committee, and they are committed to doing its work. That is what I can say. So on the issues of the Zondo Commission and...
Colleagues, I'm not sure if it's me or Honorable Tagute, you seem to have muted, and so we have
Yes, I've also lost Honorable Tagute. I thought I was also the only one, Chair.
Yeah, Honorable Tagute.
And the Committee on Intelligence doesn't operate. If the Chairperson is not doing anything. So...
Honorable Tagute, my apologies. You were muted and we lost you, and we lost you at the point where you said on the issues of the Zondo Commission, and you got cut off at that point.
Okay.
Honorable Tagute, right. Put Ben, can you just assist with the technological what you might
Honorable call? Honorable Chair, I'm here.
Yes, we've got you back, ma'am. You may proceed. It's just that you got muted whilst you were mid your submission.
Okay, Honorable Chairperson, I was saying that the presentation that the Honorable Khadebe made, it's not stopping SCOPA from doing its work. We are all worried about public funds, and we are all committed to doing our work. What I was saying is that the activities of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence are conducted behind closed doors. Hence, no one knows what the committee is doing, because that committee is unique in its nature. So the SCOPA's activities, your mandate, your scope, your processes, established processes and procedures are open to everyone. Hence, everyone knows what you are doing. But the insinuation that the Joint Standing Committee is not doing its work, that is kind of undermining other committees without even knowing that that is undermining the other committees of its work, while people don't really know what is happening behind closed doors. So that presentation by the Honorable Khadebe is not saying SCOPA shouldn't do its work. You can do your work, honorable members, as SCOPA, as you are mandated by the Constitution and the Oversight Act. But the Joint Standing Committee will do its work the way it does. With regard to what transpired in the Zondo Commission and everything, those are public knowledge because it happened in the public. So there are recommendations from the Zondo Commissions, but that you can do your work, honorable members of SCOPA, and the Joint Standing Committee will do its work as mandated by the Constitution, by the Joint Rules of Parliament, by the Oversight Act, and also the Intelligence Act. Members of that committee, is represented by members of different political parties who are not partisan when dealing with issues in that committee. So please, without undermining the work of that committee, as SCOPA, do what you are mandated to do. You can do, you oversee everything related to the public funds. Yes, continue to do that, but don't, in your documents or in your argument, undermine the work of other committees. I don't think listening to that, as the meeting, it's an open meeting, members who serve in that committee will take it kindly. Let's refrain from doing that. Do your work, then let's not undermine other committees. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And also I was saying the uniqueness of that committee, the Joint Standing Committee, is that it does, if the chairperson is not there, if it can have, the chairperson is not there for 6 months or a year, the committee doesn't sit. Because when members are appointed to serve in that committee, they are also not only the vetting, but they are also sworn to secrecy. And the chairperson is appointed alone outside the other members. So there's no acting chair, there's no one who can appoint to act. Hence, we are saying that committee is a unique committee. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. That's my submission. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I have listened very attentively and...
Honorable Chair, before my hand was up, before you...
I assume it was a historic hand. Yes, you may proceed.
No, thanks, Chair. Yes, Chair, I think perhaps I was not adequate enough. I made a reference to the uniqueness of the committee. And it is quite uncomfortable to hear statements such as, we don't care what the chair of that committee thinks. Let me tell you why it is important that I have recommended for the bilaterals of both chairpersons. In terms of the joint rules of parliament, Schedule B, disclosure of information of that committee, it says no member of the committee may disclose any information, the disclosure of which requires a committee vote prior such a disclosure. Two, no person may disclose any intelligence, any information or document, the publication of which is restricted by law. Now, except with the written permission from the chairperson. And that permission is subject to sub-item 3. Sub-item 3 says the chairperson may not grant permission for the disclosure of information as contemplated in the provision of this schedule unless he or she has first obtained leave to do so in writing from the head of the relevant services. For us to do our work in relation to the State Security Agency, the chairperson of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence is relevant in this regard. Now, we must not articulate views that seeks to suggest we have not done research in this regard. Yes, we are not here for popularity. In fact, we are not in a beauty pageant. We are not here to parade which committee is better than the other. However, our work is dependent on the relevant engagement, approval, and understanding from the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. If I were to give you an example, with the July unrest, when the Committee of Police and other committee wanted to embark on an inquiry, they could not do so because that is the prerogative of the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence as per the joint rules. We are not saying the chair of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence is a super chairperson, but the constitution of this country is the supreme law of the country. And the existence of this committee is derived from the constitution and as per the Intelligent Services Oversight Act in relation to Section 199, subsection 8. I hope this matter, Chair, is clear. We are not prohibiting or restricting any committee. I'm not too sure whether the request that we are seeking for the chair to engage with the chairperson of intelligence will cause harm into our work. Thank you, chairperson.
Chair, right. I also have my hand up.
All right, Honorable Van Menen will be the last one, and I'm going to exercise the right that you gave me, colleagues, and I will now, after this one, democratically suppress hands. All right.
Thanks very much.
All right, Mam Tulash has not spoken, so after her, she'll be the last one. All right, cool, Honorable Van Menen.
Thanks very much. I just want to say that the Honorable Lakude didn't say anything that contradicts the position that I have already articulated. She is quite correct. The Joint Standing Committee must do their work. And as she said several times, so must SCOPA. And nobody must undermine, no committee must undermine any other committee. And that works both ways. And the submission is, and I'm just repeating it now for the sake of reminding everyone, it's not into the content of the SSA, but it is into the spending of public monies. And I think that there is ample evidence to suggest that there is space for SCOPA to do its constitutional mandate, perform its constitutional mandate in that regard. And I've heard nothing that contradicts that. And I would argue we go ahead with the roadmap that we have in front of us. It is not for us to decide what we can and can't do. It, as we say, we have already received the legal advice. And we must proceed in that regard. And I have yet to hear anyone actually contradict that. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Mam Tulash, you'll be the last one.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good day, Honorable Members. Whilst I agree with both Honorable Hadebe Wilson H's presentation as well as Honorable Somyo, I just want to raise the fact that I guess Honorable Lee does not represent us when he says he does not care for any other committee chairperson is doing. I just want to emphasize that that's not the spirit of SCOPA. We are not a standalone committee. We are one of the committees under the rules of Parliament, as Honorable Hadebe with an H articulated. I thought I should really speak on that, chairperson, so that there should be no time when SCOPA sees itself as the standalone committee that doesn't care about all other committees. It's not possible, Chair, because of the Constitution of the Republic, but also because of the rules of Parliament. I don't think there's anything here that is untowards. There are suggestions that are put clearly by both Honorable Members that are also articulated by the Deputy Chief Whip of the majority party and the Parliament thereof. I think let's agree on that one or disagree on that one so that we move on, Chair. Thank you so much.
All right. Colleagues, I have heard you. Let me categorically say, so that there is no confusion either here or in the public domain. Muta Mam Tulash, muta
stuff. As he has learned to Mam Tulash, mute.
Sorry, my apologies, Chair, please.
No problem, it happens. All right, colleagues, I have heard you. And I want to categorically say that this committee does not in any way see itself better than any other committees, nor do we see ourselves as special, nor do we undertake our work with a view to undermine any other committee. However, its special role must also be understood in a context that we will find ourselves from time to time venturing into uncharted waters in the pursuit of ensuring adherence to the Constitution, PFMA, MFMA, National Treasury Regulations, and related financial management laws which are at play at any given time. There is no ambiguity about that. And the rules provide for that, as set out in Rule 245 of the National Assembly rules in terms of what we can and cannot do. The second point is that, colleagues, we agreed to pursue our work consistent with the legal advice and the roadmap for all intents and purposes is derived from the legal advice and the input which members made when we met on the 16th of February. So that I remind us that it is us who said we will look into the financial management of the SSA. We are not looking into the policy matters and the operational matters. No, that's not our purview. And we certainly will not do it. And from the chair, will not allow that we compromise our own integrity by doing things which are outside our mandate. So that's very important, that we are honest to our own checks and balances. So the therefore the assumption when the roadmap was developed was that we were taking it from the legal advice, which if I may remind members, amongst others, which I was I'm a paper-based person. So now this, right. In that legal advice, it's pointed out to us that our previous opinion to the committee noted that the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence has a specific mandate to look into the accounts of the state security as provided for in Section 3 of the Intelligence Services Oversight Act of 1994. However, it is important to highlight that this mandate is not framed as an exclusive mandate. In other words, there is no reason in law which automatically precludes SCOPA from considering the financial statements and related matters of SSA as per the oversight functions of the committee. It is our understanding that the historic reason for SCOPA not conducting financial oversight over the SSA may be due to SSA citing confidentiality as meetings of SCOPA are held openly, whereas joint meetings of JSCI are closed. However, we are of the view that there is no reason in law why SCOPA cannot close its meetings for purposes of conducting financial oversight over the SSA. Such closure is provided for in National Assembly Rule 184. In addition, closure would only be necessary in as far as SSA can demonstrate that the disclosure of information could reasonably be expected to prejudice the defense, security, or international relations of the Republic. So I just wanted to remind colleagues of those particular aspects of the legal opinion, which we agreed would be the basis upon which we would move. So colleagues, I think we are all on the same page that the work must be done, but new aspects have now been raised in this meeting. So I'm going to, and of course the roadmap was circulated to all of us. I'm going to make the following request, because Honorable Hadebe, you were quite extensive in some of the legislative frameworks which you cited, and them, some of them may not be done justice if they are listened to here now and consider them correctly. So colleagues, I'm going to request as follows, because see, I think we also, as a committee, must make sure that our processes are watertight and that we as a committee actually do the right things correctly. So because you can do the wrong thing incorrectly as well. I mean, the right thing incorrectly. So that's very important. So colleagues, I'll request this. Can I please receive written submissions on this matter, and I will take this issue on advisement so that we come back to it correctly and properly. I think in the main, the extensive submission is that of Honorable Hadebe, and judging by what he was saying, most of it is already written. So if I can receive from all members of the committee who may want to make an input on this, including but not limited to the suggestion of a meeting between myself and the chair of the JSCI, that I receive those written submissions by close of business on Friday, and I will take the matters up on advisement with legal, so that in the event that a meeting does take place with the chair of the JSCI or between us and the JSCI, we can do so having covered all the legal bases. I want to reiterate that we are not venturing into the nitty-gritties of the operations of the underground world, particularly in the national interest. We do need to adopt a hamba-kahle approach on that, but nobody is immune to financial management consistent with the law. So whatever the underground gang is doing, there must be checks and balances, which of course would be financial management structure. And then we'll take it from there. I think that this is a new process for us and for Parliament. And of course, other reports are still pending. And we are still to meet with the AG colleagues. If the AG comes to us and says, no, I've got no problems when I'm auditing the SSA, and that the SSA is conducting its business in a manner which is satisfactory, then that's fine. So there is absolutely no crisis. So colleagues, can I get your written submissions, the extensive ones, by close of business on Friday? And I'll take the matter on advisement. But I do want to remind and reiterate colleagues that the roadmap is derived from largely the legal opinion which we accepted as a committee to guide us. Of course, there are aspects of it which we decided upon, right? The vote was taken on certain aspects. Those matters have been dispensed with. We're not going back to those. So colleagues, I will request that we do that and again reiterate. There is no suggestion on our part that we are the super committee on parliamentary affairs, which could be the other acronym for SCOPA. No, we are quite reasonable in our application of the rules, and we certainly not are undermining anyone. I say this, colleagues, because if a perception of that nature were to prevail, it will make cooperation with other committees very difficult. And it would not be in a vacuum. We've had historic clashes with other portfolio committees. We're not a super committee, and we certainly don't conduct ourselves as such.
Yeah. Can I just request, I have a funeral on Friday. If I cannot do a submission by a close of business on Friday, is it please possible to extend that date?
All right. That's fine, perfectly understandable. All right, so look at that. Noted, Honorable Van Minden. And let me just take the hands I see. Honorable Somyo and Honorable Lees. Of course.
Thank you, Chair.
All right.
Thank you, Chair. Can we so long ask for a vetting of each and every one of us, and if necessary, a top secret assessment for each and every member, so that as we seek to venture into such exercises, even ourselves, we are in the actual standing which is required to deal with such matters. I don't think that one is a difficult one, so that we can somewhat be cleared on all these other things, whatever we do.
All right.
Secondly, this thing of that we deal with other committees, it's not correct, because The committees we deal with are portfolio committees. The joint committee you're talking about is a standing, joint standing committee, which is founded on the basis of statute as it is in our case. So there are committees of different standing, you see. So these committees and that committee has been created on the basis of law. Parliament can exercise the right of saying we don't have a portfolio committee on this and that, as it does in various instances. But on the basis of the formation and founding of standing committees, they are the basis of statute. And therefore, that reference is really not a correct reference in dealing with matters of Parliament. I just wanted to deal with that kind of reference as well, to put it aside. We can make any submissions in the proposed time, and then we have a discussion later on the same matters. But I would want to plead that we must undergo these. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honourable Liz, Honourable Hadebe, Honourable Tolashe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm entirely comfortable with your proposal, but would just request that the submissions be immediately circulated to all members of the committee so we can all consider them. And I'm sure that you would do that anyway. I'm happy with that, and we're happy with that. Mr. Chairman, in terms of the vetting, my understanding of this vetting is that it takes months and sometimes up to a year. So whilst I have no objection to being vetted, I will object if it's used as a reason why we can't proceed with our work with this particular committee on joint or on the SSA, not so much the committee. We're looking at the SSA. Just want to make that point. It should not be used as a reason why we should not proceed with the work if there are long delays in that process, which I know from reports in the past that it has taken a considerable amount of time in some instances. Thank you, Mr.
Okay. Honorable Hadebe.
Thanks, Chair. I'm glad you reminded us of what we have agreed thus far, including the legal opinion. And I said on my input, subsequent to that, Chair, we've consulted applicable pieces of legislation. No legal opinion can supersede the constitution of this country. What I've quoted was the constitution. Secondly, what I've quoted was the rules as agreed and adopted by Parliament. And no legal opinion may supersede such. I want to add and went further to say, Chair, there are quality assurance mechanisms and checks and balances within the intelligent sector. There's what we call the Office of the Inspector General, who does exactly what we are alluding to. There's also Audit and Risk Committee over and above the audit of the Auditor General of South Africa. Inspector General of Intelligence only accounts to the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. He has powers to investigate all issues related to maladministration, abuse of power, misappropriation of funds, and report to the committee. The committee then reports to Parliament. When I read the law, not the legal opinion, the law was clear in terms of disclosure of anything. Anything, whether you want information as it relates to the misuse of public fund, that disclosure can only be received once you follow certain procedures. what we are mandating you as this committee and as our chair is to first cross all the T's and dot all the I's in relation to us doing our work effectively and efficiently. We will require information, and the only route for us to get that information is for you to have that bilateral. We're not saying, Chair, do something extraordinary, go out of your way to invent certain legislation in this regard. We are not saying we don't want to do our work. I'm pleading to honorable members to capture and understand us correctly. For this committee to acquire information, certainly there are prerequisites to those. Even the Auditor General, the staff that audit the state security agents, they are required to obtain certain minimum security clearances. Even when the state, when the committee report on Parliament on the audit outcome, they do not disclose everything. We are raising those issues informed by the law, not the legal opinion. So, Chair, what I want to put forward is that our mandate and resolution still stands, that as this committee, we mandate you to have bilateral. If you want our submission, yes, our submission will follow, but we should not reduce our proposal into a by the way resolution. Thank you, Chair.
All right, colleagues, I will humbly request you to so that we avoid a protracted debate on this matter. I think we are largely on the same page. And any issue that you wish to raise as a proposal, please put it into the submission. I see Ma'am Dolashe and the Honorable Ladebe, the proposal of meeting the chairperson is not a by the way, but one does need to have an engagement from an informed basis insofar as having collated the necessary information so that that meeting is meaningful. So I think that's the one perspective. Right, I see Ma'am Dolashe and Honorable Bukis, and I think she will be the last one. I don't see an indication in our group. Right, in that order, please.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, you said earlier on, we are really in uncharted waters, dealing with things that were never done before, getting into a situation that no one has been. And I really would want us to be more, as you are currently saying, we're more as a team than individuals, so that we do all this that we're expecting to do in a manner that we will all be proud, both individually and collectively. And as such, Chair, I don't want us to put off between ourselves or to ourselves impose conditions. Because if we start to do that, it's going to be a little bit of a problem, because it's going to be easy for us to just quickly leave the collective and go to our small cocoons, which that is not going to give us an answer or a progress thereof. If we are worried about this, the process that has been articulated by Honorable Somyo, the vetting and stuff, I don't think we should conclude without knowing what is going to be the case. We are not getting anywhere soon. We'll be here until 2024, Chair. If we have those fears, let's raise those fears. Let your office and the relevant offices raise this that we have just discussed and agreed to say. As we are proposing this and we feel that this should be done as a, what can you bring so that we don't follow the usual way, or we are not in the usual way that takes a year or so, as Honorable Lisa has just articulated, so that we get where we would want to go. But when you say, no, if it's the condition, I'm not getting there, then it's not going to help, because I'll then say, so why should I submit? Why should I bring a submission when we have put my case in the meeting recorded?
why should I submit a written submission? Or I want to appeal, Chair, to say, if we see or we foresee any difficulties in what has been outlined, let's just deal with those. It's very easy to say, how fast can we have that, given the fact that we would want to get where we are supposed to get. If there are any delays that might arise, how best ourselves and the said committee and the said chair can we fast track the process so that we don't sit here, Chair, and put ourselves stumbling blocks that will not make us or assist us to get where we would want to go. I want to say that, Chair, and really please motivate for me the issue of the written submission. And if there are any precedents in that regard, can I get to hear more? Remember, we're new in Parliament and we might be really doing something new and some of us has not been aware of. So let there be that articulation so that I can do that easily and submit according to the times that you have just articulated. I'm not sure, Chair, even if we agree, Friday is too soon. Remember, today you are in Parliament, tomorrow we're doing other things. I'm not sure why Friday. Why don't you give us at least 7 days if we, in fact, we agree on your proposal? Because I guess this is your proposal that we can still accept, but we can still not accept. But with the way you are moving, we seem to be accepting, but let's clear all other things that might be a stumbling block. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Can I speak? Chair?
It appears as if we have lost the chair. Colleagues, is the chair still around?
Still there. I think you've just gotten cut.
Yes. Honorable Bukas was on the floor, Chair.
Yeah, sorry. I momentarily got cut there as Mam Tula, she was rounding off, but I think I got what she was saying. Thanks, Honorable. Honorable Bukas and Honorable Lise will be the last one.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, mine is a short one on the written submissions. Well, we come back after the written submissions to look at the planning proposal because, Chair, we can't approve this proposal without that bilateral between you and the chair of the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence, because then our planning proposal will then be a futile exercise based on that Section 27 of the Constitution. And Chair, I don't think there's any reason for us not to do our work, because all of us, we are here for a certain reason, and it's to do our oversight without fear or favor. So in agreeing with Honorable Khadebe that we must first have that bilateral and then come back looking at our submissions, if all of us agree with that submissions, then I think we can go from there. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Lees is the last one.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not quite sure where we are, but let me just, for the record, to represent the committee, you're obviously free to meet with whoever you choose to meet with, but that would be in your private capacity. But we would oppose you representing this committee and meeting at this stage with the other chair. I've expressed our support for you in terms of let's look at the submissions and see what comes out of those, but that obviously is a committee decision as well.
We cannot almost done. Colleagues, I don't think we are far apart. And I think we are all literally saying the same thing. The reason why I'm asking that I get this in writing, Honorable Hatebe has cited extensively that after the opinion, they have consulted and there are legal prescripts which they have looked at. This is for the purposes to make an informed decision so that we cover the bases and go through the basics so that we don't come back to these things, so that midstream, the process doesn't stall. So this is not to presuppose that there's an ulterior agenda. Honestly speaking, I was listening very carefully to what Honorable Mhadebe has said, insofar as the legal injunctions, excuse me, which he has cited are concerned. Tulabusoma raises another pertinent point on the issue of vetting. And so we would need advisement on how that process goes and what it would entail and to what extent are we being vetted and for what, so that we can get all those processes rolling. So it is, I know that it may seem like an unprecedented step, but I would like to believe that it is not unprecedented in that when we circulate things, there's always the request, colleagues, please make your submissions and so on and so forth on this or the other. I take the point, and I must say the only reason why I said Friday was because my assumption was largely that Honorable Hadebe was reading most of the things that he was saying. And so for me to receive it would have been easy, but Honorable Van Minen and Honorable Dulashe have raised the issue of time. So I can get it next week. There's really no other rationale other than to say what this process entails is new things for all of us. And of course, there's the consideration that we have to make that we all legislation is subject to interpretation. And so that it's applied correctly. And that is why one would have gotten the legal opinion. And so if we want to apply that legal opinion, I think we must all be satisfied as a committee that we are applying it in a way that gives us comfort that the process is our process and that we own it as a committee. Consultation is the name of the parliamentary game. If we are to actually succeed in our work, consultation and collaboration is extensively the nature of the game. So, Antulashi, I hope that allays your outlook to just say that the request for the submission is to ensure that we get all the issues on the table, sift through them, and then arrive at a conclusion on the implementation. And I certainly don't, I'm not for one moment under the illusion that the roadmap is being chucked out the window. I think the critical question which has arisen is on the due process of implementation of the roadmap. I think that's what we all want to arrive at. And that's why I'm saying once I get this, and of course, as usual, and as the standard practice for this committee, we'll come back to you, colleagues, having received everything, say, and make suggestions, and then we take it forward. So that's really a way it is. And Honorable Ademhoba, when obe ne submission obe extensive to the point you did not want to confine yourself to one section of the roadmap. So I think the colleagues are raising a question of fairness. Today being Wednesday, we can get those next week Wednesday as well. It's no problem. And then because we have got that opening in that week now, because Parliament oversights are not going ahead, and then we'll consider it that week, and then we will proceed. Absomyo, on the issue of vetting, we will begin those processes of determining how it is done so that when it arrives at that point, colleagues are properly briefed and thoroughly briefed on how that would actually work. I think Honorable Hadebe amongst us is the only one that has been vetted because he serves on the JSCI. So the rest of us would just need to be taken through in the event that that arises, how that goes, and then we'll take it forward. So colleagues, we are not far apart, in fact. It's just a matter of the due processes of implementation. So can I get the submissions humbly next week, by next week, Wednesday, for those colleagues that may want to make an input on this so that we avoid a protracted debate. And also we will solicit just the modus operandi of operations, I guess, of the JSCI, not the work, but like what how they go about their work, so that we are informed as a committee. I hope, colleagues, you find that in order.
Agreed.
All right, I was told. All right, thank you, Honorable Liz. So colleagues, that is fine. Just one final matter is that once, as I said, the oversight obviously has been postponed until we've been given new dates. So we will hold off on our oversight to ESCOM. We will see what is then. We'll consult with colleagues as per usual in terms of what we will do on the 29th and the 30th of March, which are now open days for us to have a meeting. Two, the PRASA annual report has been submitted. Colleagues will recall that there was a delay. The annual report has been submitted to table, rather, to Parliament. It is a disclaimed audit outcome. So that is there. That's the update. And to say that we will also be circulating the draft report on the PPEs for members to make their input, and we'll find a date for that consideration of that as well. So colleagues, I hope all of the above is in order, and thank you very much for your indulgence this morning. If the absence of any other hand or comment, may the meeting please stand adjourned.
So Chair, no, thank you, Chair. It's 7 days for the
submission. Yeah, so next week Wednesday is fine, yeah.
Yes, I assume also the consultation will be within that prescribed period.
I will be doing my fair share of the work as well in that prescribed time as well, so that the process can be moving.
Thank you so much, Chair.
Right. Thank you very much, colleagues. We are one, Simone.
As Jiggy, we are one.
We are one. All right. And thank you so much.
We are one. Long live the chair.
Recording stopped.
Honorable Peggy, I'm your recording. Ulaga magic. Let me.